This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover all kinds of different topics around the Umpqua Valley. Originally, this was going to be out at the Douglas County Fair. That's going on now, of course. And you're welcome to stop by our booth there right by the amphitheater area and just by the Umpqua ice cream booth as well. A lot of things going on there. But as things shifted today, we ended up doing it in studio. State Senator David Brock-Smith, who, because you're based out of coastal Douglas County, this is actually the first time you've been in this studio.
It is, Kyle, yes.
So welcome in, and thanks for coming over. Now, you are here just having gotten off a plane an hour and a half or so ago in Eugene. Talk about where you've been.
So I have been in and a number of legislators from Oregon have been in Louisville, Kentucky, for the National Conference of State Legislators Legislators Annual Summit. We had over 5,600 attendees, many of which were state legislators from across the country, with different topics of wildfire and insurance to AI and AI's emerging threats across our nation and the world, to how we're going to deal with various issues in public safety, drug use, and healthcare in our individual states. It's always great to have conversations with legislators from across the nation, because sometimes their issues are our issues, and we're able to collectively figure out how they solve their problems or are working on them as we are here.
And how long did this last?
It was a three-day conference, was there for 4 days. One of the keynotes of the conference for me is, as you know and listeners know, Kyle, that I've been working on, building the Western States Coalition of state legislators to start and continue to press our federal delegations in the Western states on our wildfire issues, as we have over 1 million acres burned already in Oregon, and we aren't even in the peak season for wildfire. And this has been there's been some really good progress, not just in NCSL, but 2 weeks before that, we had the Convention of States West conference in Portland. Our Oregon State Senator Bill Hansel is the president of that organization this year, and he gave me carte blanche on a wildfire panel that we had on Friday, to which we had Kyle Stevens there, Fire Director ODF and Oregon Department of Forestry. And I invited Senator Golden, who's the chair of the Senate Natural Resources and Wildfire Committee, to be my guest on that panel, and really making progress to where we had a legislator from Southwest California who spoke up, and his first question was, when are we going to start pushing back against our federal partners for not managing their federal lands that are causing these fires? And so I'm looking to him to possibly co-chair, but what we're going to create is a wildfire subcommittee within CSG West Natural Resources Committee. And really, Kyle, as we've discussed before, the methodology here is pretty simple. We know that 83% of the acres burned on the 10-year average are on federal lands, and of the 17% that are burned on private lands, 14% of those fires, 13% of those acres burned on private land are from fires coming off of federal land to private land, and of the 4% that are burned on private land, they're kept less to 100 acres because it's managed resources, as well as instant response times from DFPA, CFPA, and our fire teams. And so the idea is we need to front load from federal government our resources to these agencies and departments so that then we can transition our wildland firefighters and other personnel in partnership with our timber industries to do the thinning, ladder fuel reduction, and prescribed fire within the wildland urban interfaces, therefore making our rural communities that butt up against these fire-prone federal lands more resilient. And then in the long term will help go to cut those insurance premiums that have drastically taken a turn upward.
So one of the things about any attempt to make federal policy shifts is it really depends on who's got the White House.
That is true, or Congress. We can have a Republican in Congress, in the White House, but if he doesn't have Congress, you can't executive order your way out of this mess.
Right. And with the way the election is looking right now, presidential election looks pretty tight, at least at the moment with the current polls. And it could be that both chambers may shift in the federal level, or they may not. I mean, it's one of those things that you don't really you've got all these individual races. And it seems like it's going to be kind of a tight election year all around.
Well, it will be nationwide, I think, and I still have the confidence. As you know, the last time I was on, we talked about the RNC, and I was I had the privilege to go serve as a elector at the Republican National Convention, elected by the PCPs within Senate or Congressional District 4. Listen, we are seeing in real time something that really has not occurred in our history, where you have what many of us thought and now confirmed that President Biden has been facing some serious health issues. My father has dementia. It was noticeable and has been noticeable for a long time. Frankly, the way the and these are, of course, my opinions, but the way his own party treated him, when there were other ways that it could have occurred, he could have not taken and not pushed forward, gracefully stood down, allowed the Democrat process occur through the individual states nominating process for their Democrat candidate. That didn't occur. Really, it was a coup, so to speak, within their own party. You have a bump, I think, in the polls with Vice President Harris. I think it's a disastrous choice to choose Governor Walz as a VP. And I think that the American people will feel the same way. But what I do know is here in Oregon, we have great candidates that we are looking at. There's three key races in the Senate. There's a number of key races in the House, and Representative Osborne, Representative Boyce, and I have been doing all we can to support those efforts in Oregon, because as you know, and as you heard Virgil talk about, in the last election cycle in 2022, we were only less than 4,500 votes among six races to actually have the majority in the Oregon House of Representatives as Republicans.
And talk about how that would really change things. I mean, that has not been the case for quite a while.
That changes everything. To have any piece of legislation move, you have to have the majority allow it to do so. That is the only way, because you have the majority party, currently Democrats in Oregon, are chairs of the committee, the speaker and Senate president. They decide what bills are going. They're going to tell their chair of their committee what bill they can or cannot have a hearing on and what bill, regardless if you're able to secure the votes of the members of that committee, which, again, those committees are set with a majority of from their party. So if we have a majority of members in the House of Representatives, Representative Osborne would have a gavel and be the chair, let's say, of Business and Labor. in the Oregon House of Representatives, which then means that there would be four Republicans and only three Democrats, which means that we can move any legislation that Virgil, Representative Osborne, can move any legislation that he chooses within that committee. More importantly, we would stop any Democrat-proposed legislation that would be so harmful and impactful to businesses in this state from coming through that committee because, A, the chair, Virgil, at that point, Representative Osborne, would not schedule it for a hearing, or B, there would not be the votes from the majority of the Republicans on the committee to move the bill.
All right, we're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. State Senator David Brock Smith in studio for the first time. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming in for 1. Umpqua Valley Live this afternoon at 4 as we look at arts, entertainment, and community events. Going to be talking about Umpqua Valley Arts, also the Umpqua Symphony Orchestra with their season unveiled. And we're going to have some Smash Mouth music. Weren't able to get them on the air for an interview due to their travel time, but they're here tomorrow night at the fair, so we'll play a little bit of Smash Mouth for you, believe it or not. And speaking of fair, our booth at the Douglas County Fair, check that out if you're out there today or tomorrow. A lot going on there. You have got a couple new KQEN swag items you can pick up there. Make sure and ask about that. And a lot more going on at our booth at the fair. In studio, though, State Senator David Brock Smith, just in from Kentucky. Do you ever look around and wonder, you know, have to look at your calendar to realize where you're supposed to be that day?
I usually look a week ahead to make sure there is no travel, but then it's a day ahead to know where it is. And my chief of staff, Shalia, is amazing. And my calendar is my life, to be honest with you, because it's critically important. As the Senate Republican Deputy Leader, I am very busy in our caucus and helping Leader Bonham, especially with elections and the campaigns. But there's also a number of ballot measures on the ticket as well this November. One, which was now IP 17, which is now Measure 118, is a horrible ballot measure. It was an initiative that went through. I don't know if have you discussed it yet on the air.
I don't think I have.
So IP 17, now Measure 118, is basically transfer of wealth. So it would impose a tax on large corporations in the state, and then redistribute that wealth to every Oregonian. We already had the CAT tax, the corporate activities tax, that was supposed to be dedicated to schools, but yet what the Democrats did is they imposed the tax and then swept some of the money that they were already dedicating to schools in the general fund and then supplanted it with that. So it was never really much of an increase that it was supposed to be. And then we went and funded education in the 2023 budget larger than we ever have. And then what did you see? What happened? You had the Portland Public Schools have their first strike so that their individuals can get more of those dollars rather than them going to students. So what this bill would do would really move even more businesses out of this state. At some point, when you run out of other people's money, Kyle, and it's a huge problem. Oregon's one of the highest taxing states, income tax in the country, and this is literally a veiled sales tax. And that's what it is. And it's trying to, and it's being, it was funded by a very wealthy individual out of San Francisco, California. Once again, like Measure 110, hey, let's try a test case in Oregon and see if this redistribution of wealth occurs. I and a number of my colleagues have been putting pressure on Democrat leadership. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, week and a half ago, Senate President Wagner called to check in, and I majority of our conversation was pressing on when Democrat leadership in the state was going to be pushing back against IP 17, now Measure 118. And so Governor Kotek last week, last week came out in opposition, which was fantastic. Now I see other Democrat leaders in the state will become coming out in opposition, which is rather great, considering you're going to have Democrat and Republican leadership both opposed to this veiled sales tax.
And as you look towards the next session with your role as deputy leader, how much more does that put on your plate?
It does. It's a busy time. I mean, right now we're working on infrastructure packages and looking at with regards to fire, police, emergency response. What's on my plate now is additional duties with regards to elections, making sure that Senator Anderson is reelected to his seat, which takes in, of course, some of Douglas County over in Reedsport area, Winchester Bay. His district, you know, is from Lincoln City down to, well, Tillamook almost down to Coos Bay. And then our former Republican leader, Tim Canope, out of the Bend area district, is retiring and not coming back. So we have a great candidate there, Michael Summers, longtime Bend resident. But it's going to be a tough race in that district with Broadman.
Well, and Bend, Central Oregon really tends to be kind of a could go either way situation a lot.
Correct. So Senator Canope has won that district it was a plus 11D district, and Senator Canope has won. So, and then we have another race that we're focusing on the Senate side in southern Portland area, where Senator Gorsuch, and we have a candidate, Mr. Love, Raymond Love. He's a fantastic candidate. Former military background, great guy, and has an opportunity to take that, and I believe that's a plus 6D. Oregon is a very purple state. I mean, if you look at it, we historically have won elections. When we look at swing seats, we call it, our swing seats are plus 7, plus 8D. Because when we stopped, for example, House Bill 2002, the gender-affirming care bill where you were literally going to have Democrats wanted 14-year-olds to be able to start a gender-affirming care with puberty blockers and so forth without parental consent or knowledge, but still be able to use their parents' insurance to do so, which is ludicrous, especially considering when just a few sessions before we did juvenile justice reform, and every single one of those same Democrats were talking about how juveniles are not mentally capable to make decisions because their mental development does not occur until they're in their mid to early to mid 20s, but yet they're going to start making life-changing decisions and blocking puberty. And one Democrat in particular, Kyle, I spoke to, did not even know that if they did that, they don't just can't take just a pill years if they later if they wanted to change their mind and go back. and reverse what they've done. So I digress and I apologize, but we have great opportunities with these races and with these candidates. And Virgil will have to give you an update in the House. I know he's on their campaign, the House Republican campaign team, on the races that he's been working on.
Now, you're headed out to the Douglas County Fair in a bit, right?
Yep, I'll be there. I just got, like you said, in from Kentucky, from the NCSL conference, and I'll be at the fair today and tomorrow.
And I think the booth is over in the community conference hall, if I heard correctly.
Yep, Virgil's booth and mine and County Clerk Dan Loomis. We're all sharing one this go around. That's another thing why I'm on here when we're talking about elections and so forth. I can't say enough about not only our elected officials here in Douglas County and how hard they work, but how safe our elections are with Clerk Loomis doing his job.
All right. State Senator David Brock Smith, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.